Welcome back to Jump Scare. I'm Betty.
And I'm Chad.
And this week we cover 1979's The Legacy.
Ooh, this is a good one.
It is.
Jason Mount Olive is a man with many friends.
Jason will give you such wealth.
To each he has given anything.
He will fulfill every whim.
And everything.
Every fancy.
They've ever desired.
Every dream. Trust, Jason.
Now they've been reunited for one last time. Each to receive one last gift. The legacy.
When he calls us, we come.
Ah, it's me! It's me! I'm the one!
To you, I bequeath my power, my knowledge, and my estate.
Who is it?
Six have come to claim his inheritance. Five discover the lifeless body. Four watch in horror as another dies. Then there were three. Then two. But only one can receive the legacy. Catherine Ross, Sam Elliott, and Roger Daltrey, The Legacy, a birthright of living death.
That was a mouthful of stuff.
Yeah, it was a lot. This movie's a lot.
This movie is a lot. And the trailer, like, don't you just love those good old-fashioned trailers?
Yeah.
God, you just gotta love them. They're just great. Especially when you try to watch the trailer and it's like just a clip of the movie and you're like, what the fuck? And it's just like someone walking down a hallway and you're like, okay, what the fuck is this?
Great.
Why did you
decide? This really tells me a lot about the movie here.
Well, but there was a point where there were no trailers. That wasn't a thing. Trailers weren't always a thing like they are now.
Yeah. They were a little different back in the old days. Well, there was some famous producer, it might have been Corman, that said, when they were like, you're giving away all the good parts in the trailer. And he goes, yeah, they'll think there's a lot more in the movie. He goes, if they see that and go, holy shit, that's what they put in the trailer? The movie must be fucking amazing. When really that's all we got is right there in the trailer.
Then you just saved me 5 cents.
Yeah, back then, sure.
So Sam Elliott,
yes,
and Catherine Ross are in this film. Sam Elliott. So ladies, if you love you some Sam Elliott, maybe you like his, gray hair now, his beard or non-beard, however he's rolling at this point in time today, 2020, you will fucking love this film because he looks fantastic and he is manly AF. He got the crazy ass 70s mustache. He has the crazy fucking 70s hair and there's a booty shot. So,
yes, you get Sam Elliott going into the shower naked.
I thought it was the camera was gonna, you know, turn around and we were gonna see some Sam Elliott, you know, nibbly bits, but no, we don't. We just see a booty. And I think it's his booty? That's what I would ask him. Was that your ass in the movie? No decorum whatsoever. Sam Elliott booty. Yeah, there's just a couple of seconds of that. So this film was my first time. I actually had seen this film. Was this your first time?
No, I saw part of it years ago when I was a kid, and my mom liked it a lot, so I remembered it. She had it on a multi-part DVD with this and one that we covered earlier, The Sentinel, and also yes, that's seven S's in case you're wondering. It's no snake jazz movie, but it's still pretty good. And so it had been a long time since I seen it. I had just remembered a few parts of it. I remember there was a lot of cats in it and that there was something about rings.
And that's why your mom loved it. Bless her heart. She was like, just these kitties just looking so cute. One of them actually looked like her kitty.
Yeah, so she probably loved it for that. It starts off with, you know, give a little breakdown of what goes on here. You got...
Can I read the boring IMDb description?
Sure.
A couple attempt to unravel a sinister plot within an English countryside estate of a dying man who has gathered an electric and notable...
Eclectic.
Eclectic, so sorry. That's when you're blind and you're reading very small font. eclectic and notable group of house guests. They could also be electric. You don't fucking know what they're doing.
It's Iron Man. It's all the Iron Man armors coming to their house. But, you know, the way I would have told it was you get Catherine Ross and Sam Elliott. They're she's an architect. He's a, I don't know, whatever the fuck Sam Elliott does.
Is she an architect or is she an interior designer?
So they say architect, but then it seems more like she's an interior designer.
Who loves to, you know, who has like a fucking big ass basket of delicious fresh oranges in her home.
Yeah, just sitting on the table like you do.
Not like a fucking bowl of oranges where there's like six oranges. This was like, there was like 35 oranges in this fucking thing.
Yeah, it was like a cast iron bowl with like, yeah, like a, you know, three dozen oranges stuffed into it.
And but, they're living the hippie life, you know?
And this movie's kind of strange. It starts off and, you know, there's no opening credits, no nothing. It just starts off with the two of them sitting around in their hippie house in Los Angeles saying, hey, we got this letter. They want us to come to England, or they want me, the woman, they want her to come to England and work on their project, but they don't say what it is or any of that kind of stuff, and they'll give you $50,000 to come over. It's like, oh, okay, well, $50,000 back in 1978.
That was like a fucking bajillion dollars.
Yeah, so they go, and then, because my favorite part of the movie, it cuts to like, I swear it's like a TV movie song where they're like, love is so great, we're driving around England.
Like, we're going to farmer's market.
Yeah, it's like that for a good 5 minutes while the credits roll, finally, of them just strolling around England, looking at everything. The typical, like, we're going to point and laugh at stuff. Like, we don't know. It's just a building. We're pointing and laughing, like, this building is so amusing.
There was a lot of awkward laughing in the movie. I remember laughing, making fun of the laughing while I was watching the movie. There was a lot of
yeah.
Like fake laughter. It's really terrible.
So they take their motorcycle and are driving around the English countryside. But of course, they're driving in one of these very small roads where they're just driving right in the middle of it.
It's like the opening of The Shining.
Yeah. And they almost get run over by a guy driving around in a Rolls Royce. Who invites them to come back to his house.
And have some tea after he ran them over and she's all fucked up.
Yeah, like you do. I mean, they're English. But here's the thing. They all talk later, like, they kind of... Was he the guy who invited them? Because they said a completely different name. Like, the guy's name is Jason Mount Olive, which is hard to forget. But then that wasn't the name of the guy that invited him over. And they had no real reason to be in that area. It was just a random chance. But yet somehow they end up exactly where this guy wants them.
Doesn't Adams, I'm pretty sure Adams, who is the later on, she's the nurse slash head of house for the...
Slash nun. I was very confused what her job
she
was.
She has a lot of roles. Human and non-human roles. Yeah. she's the Professor McGonagall in this movie. So she's doing her thing and she does, I'm pretty sure that she explains like, oh, what did you think? Who brought you here? Like she goes through the whole fucking like monologue when she's just, talking to Margaret, who's played by Catherine Ross later on. So I think that we do actually get some kind of explanation. It's one of those where it's like, this shit's going to happen, but we're not going to put really too much into it. This just has happened. Just accept it.
This is what's happening. Yeah, so they get out there, and you know, then after they're there for the night, because of course, once you get into the creepy English countryside house, you ain't getting out. Everybody knows that.
And it's already sus when they like they're there. Like she even fucking states when they're in the room, she's like, "They had a fire burning already waiting for us. That's kind of weird." And you know, Sam Elliott, you know, is like going over with the swagger because there's a fucking fire going on. It's a bedroom. You know, he's had a long, hard day. And he's ready to get it on. So he's like, yeah, it's cold outside. Like, so of course it would have a fire.
They so said let's they get were, naked. They weren't gonna, they said we wouldn't be disturbed, so let's fuck right now.
Yep.
And they do.
And then he takes a shower, and then the shower happens to be the shower from hell because he gets, like, scorched burns because they wouldn't let him out.
Yeah. And that's
when he's not supposed to be there. Let's make that clear right now. It's only said 95 times throughout the whole film. You're not supposed to be here. Who's the stranger? Who's that with her? They're always questioning who the fuck Sam Elliott is because he was not invited. you know.
He just showed up.
Yeah, but it's not, you see, an American thing. She didn't even say, well, you know what? I'm sorry. That just plays into what you just said. We don't know who invited them. So who is she going to write to stating, hey, I'm bringing my boyfriend along?
Yeah, this is, she's kind of like that friend who you say, hey, we're all going to so-and-so for the weekend. Do you want to come with us? And they go, yeah, sure. And they go, yeah, that'd be great. And then they bring someone with them that you've never met before. And you're like, oh, you brought someone we don't know. Great. But yeah, so they're there. And then other people start showing up by helicopter. Yeah, they start showing up by helicopter, which I love the guy that gets off the helicopter wearing the, like, fur coat. You know, he's got the long fur coat on and a gold metal case that he comes off with. I was like, oh, damn, did he just leave the Pimp of the Year Awards and come here?
Yes, that's exactly what it looks like. I was going to say, he looks like an English pimp.
Yeah. Now, that's where, you know, things start to get weird is once he shows up. Once everybody shows up and they start, you know, stand around talking about, oh, you're here. Oh, good. You're the sixth person. Great.
Yeah, because six people have been invited to this house by a man who's dying, which is the man that kind of ran over, because, of course, he wasn't driving. The chauffeur was driving, kind of ran over Catherine Ross and Sam Elliott at the beginning of the, well, not the beginning, but during that sequence of the movie that we just discussed. And now he's like all decrepit in the bed. Like
he was perfectly fine walking around, sitting in the car, and he got out, talked to him, and then he gets, like, just when they get back to the house, he gets his little tiny flowery pill bottle out and opens it very daintily, takes one pill, and then is like, oh, yes, please go on into the house. I'll be in shortly.
And then he needs assistance to get out of the car, which he's like barely could get out. He has to be like more or less carried out. And then he becomes John Travolta and the boy in the bubble.
Like, yeah, he's inside like the room with like oxygen and there's blood hooked up to him and everything. And he suddenly aged about 90 years.
It's a crazy fuck room too. If you've ever seen the Uninvited, the one where the lady gets raped by the ghost. We're going to call it The Uninvited. If you've ever seen that movie where the entity. Yes, The Entity. The Entity, they make like a special like fucking glass like room in the middle. It looks just like that, but rectangular with medical supplies in it.
Yeah, and they, you know, once everybody shows up, they invite her up there. And now you get the nurse that's there at the house, Adams. Who Adams may or may not have something special about her, but let's just say that there's a cat, a nice fluffy white cat roaming around the house who has one blue eye, one yellow eye, and Nurse Adams just happens to be wearing glasses that have one yellow eye and one blue eye.
And they're also like half moon glasses, which are pretty fucking dope.
Cat eye glasses, as they're called.
They're cat eye. No, they're not. No, those are not called cat eye glasses. They're moon cut glasses. Okay. they're like half moons. Mm. I want to say cat eye. Cat eyes are the ones that glasses that I wear, and they're ding stretched out in the corners.
Okay.
But anywho, she's wearing her little fucking glasses, you know, her little David Bowie glasses with the two different colored eyes.
Also, suspiciously, at one point you see a number of cats just sitting around the house, which, as I did count, the number of cats matches the number of servants that you see later.
You know, I feel like if I had a mansion like that and I had like seven cats rolling around, they better be doing something for me. Like, I like the fact that they may or may not be transforming to humans who have jobs to do, like the gardener, you know, the nurse slash nun slash housekeeper lady.
Yeah.
She has a lot of jobs.
I know our cats sure as hell need some jobs because they have too much damn free time on their hand fighting with each other all over the house.
Yeah, it's like the fucking Thunderdome in here.
They need to just be like doing some laundry and shit during the day while we're gone.
Well, Nurse Adams is, you know, having her little meeting in the house with the servants slash cats and servant cats. And here stumbles Catherine Ross, who's trying to find assistance because I mentioned before, poor, you know, Sam Elliott, he's, you know, had that scorching hot bath, which he tries to get out of the fucking shower by banging on the glass shower door, which, spoiler alert, breaks. And they're so nonchalant about it. She's so concerned, like, oh, he got burned. Bitch, there's, like, glass everywhere. Like, why are you not telling, like, you're staying in a mansion. This is not the Best Western where it's just like, oh, it's okay. I just fucked up the fucking shower door that's made out of fucking plexiglass or whatever. This is, like, glass and it's in a fucking mansion bathroom. She's like, oh, I'm going to mention that after the fact. She's like, oh, and by the way, the shower door is broken.
We damaged the shower door. And then, of course, Adam's just like, oh, well. Yes, quite. Pay it no mind.
I'll have someone come in there and pick up the glass.
I'll have someone see to that. But the guests that arrive all have different roles, but none of them are played by anyone that really stood out, except for one is played by Roger Daltrey, who plays, of course, a music producer. And interesting note about this is filmed in Roger Daltrey's house.
His real house.
His real house. This, like, lush English countryside estate with, like, 90 rooms, an indoor swimming pool, multi-car garage, barn, servant quarters, this is all his.
It's that kind of, like, Dunton Abbey, like, estate-looking house.
Yeah.
And there's a fucking, like, amazing pool that has, like, Italian fucking painting at the bottom of it. It's mad fancy.
And apparently that was his condition was, you can use this house, but I get to be in the movie. And they were like, well, yes, of course. When we get to use this fancy-ass house, we'll let you be in the movie.
And he did a fine job.
Yeah, he did a good job. I mean, he was great for the part. I wouldn't have bought him as any other part.
Correct.
But when you get him to be, like, the swarmy music producer, you're like, okay, yeah, I see why they cast him for this.
Like, the clothes that he wore were probably his real clothes at the time. He just had to show up on set and be himself, basically.
Yeah, he showed up kind of dressed like Snake Plissken in Escape from New York. He had, like, the sleeveless shirt with the zippers on the top and all that. He was ready to go.
Or, like I said before, Snake Plissken is dressed like Roger Daltrey in this movie.
Could be, but I'm just saying, that's what it reminded me of.
They're all fucking wealthy. Let's just throw that out there. Yeah. They're very wealthy.
Everybody's rich as hell, and everybody's here to talk to Mr. Mount Olive, and then they tell you right off the bat, someone's going to be picked as the successor.
To the estate and the power.
Yeah. Because, spoiler alert, don't listen if you don't want to know, you find out pretty quick, everybody's a witch. All these people are witches and warlocks that are gathered here at the house.
But also, spoiler alert, they don't got no powers.
They never really do anything with their witch powers.
Everything they do is physical harm. Like, well, per se. Well, one of the characters is going around toting a gun. If I had fucking magical powers, I don't need a gun. I am the gun.
Well, people do get killed. This kind of becomes, and then there were none with witches. Because everybody's being murdered in this lush countryside estate in various... You know, someone's in the pool swimming when they suddenly can't get out of the pool. There's like a glass top over it that you can't see. They can't get out. And you just see someone, you know, like a shadow of someone watching them. So someone was using their powers to murder people, but the other people just never really used any powers to fight back, you know?
Yeah.
You're supposed to have witchcraft, but no one was really using it to defend themselves.
Which is stupid. Because they're using it to get rich and do other kinds of fucking things. But the most important thing, you know, your life.
They're not using any powers to fight on that. And I don't know. This movie is one of those ones. Now, like, I read that Sam Elliott said that the movie was about 15 years after its time. And I can kind of see that because made in the 70s after we've had, like, The Omen, The Exorcist and all that. But it's really pretty tame, considering.
Yeah, it's a Universal movie.
And it strikes me as, if it had been made in, like, 1960, and was, like, a Hammer film from the 60s, I could have really seen it. Because it's very slow-paced. Not a crazy amount of stuff happens until you get near the end. Then it kind of all spirals quickly.
Yeah, I wouldn't say this was a horror film. Per se, there's witches involved, so that you don't
and there's
even
some
get to
gruesome
see.
Elements and stuff on there.
They are. The deaths are all pretty good, you know, considering the content and whatnot and the context and how they die. And they kind of do like a clever thing on how, you know, they did wrongs in their life and how those people died, the people that they affected, they are going to die like the same way that the people died.
Yeah, so. Everything is kind of a poetic justice for how they passed. And yeah, it's an interesting movie, but this is one of those ones that I could definitely see someone taking it now and remaking it and doing a lot more with it, you know?
Yeah, well,
it's not bad per se. It's just, this is one of those ones that, like I said, I told you I saw it when I was a kid and I couldn't remember too much about it, but I probably won't remember that much about this in 6 months either, because there's nothing that really fantastic that stands out about it. It's not bad, but it's not great either, you know?
I thought it was an entertaining film. I loved the house, the mansion was amazing and, you know, looked great. But the movie is just, it's a movie of its time. I really wouldn't put it up against all those other movies you mentioned, because I just saw it as like a kind of higher caliber made for TV film.
Yeah.
Because the acting from Sam Elliott, obviously, and Catherine Ross. I mean, Catherine Ross was, you know, she's in Stepford Wives. She had done other things.
She was in Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid.
Yeah. She's, you know, known to be a veteran actress. And, you know, and obviously Sam Elliott. They carry the movie and their relationship and the things that happen, you know, she's finding out little by little, you know, what's actually happening, because at first, you know, they just think, oh, they were just staying here because we had that accident and whatever, but then they can't fucking leave. Like, the people in the house do everything in their power to make it very difficult for them to even leave the house. Let's not even talk about them leaving the actual fucking, like, town that they're in. Everyone is in on it. And that, because the guy's so rich, he has everyone wrapped around his fingers. So it's that kind of, like, you know, loyal, like, blind loyalness. Like, I'm not going to fuck with this guy. This guy could take me out. They know, the townspeople knew what was up. It's kind of like Dracula, where he, like, lives in his castle. No one want to fuck with him. Kind of thing.
But you talk about the thing like breaking the shower door. One of the things that stood out to me on this is the scene where Sam Elliott and Catherine Ross decide they're just going to make a run for it. So they're going to steal a horse from the barn. So they hop on the horses and they're trying to ride off. So, you know, they just start punching people, kicking them in the face. And then I love the servant that's just like, well, fuck this. And he just lights a broom on fire and comes running at them with the burning broom. It's like, I'll burn you bitches! And stabbing at them with the burning broom.
The burning broom was a very nice touch.
It was a little over the top to be like, oh, they're going to steal the horses? Well, I'll set them all on fire. That'll stop them from taking the horses.
It's like, you're all horse meat now.
You're all going to set the horse on fire with that too. You know that, right?
Yeah, that scene, and there's a car chase. It kind of has a little bit of everything. I felt like there was, like, a list. They were like, okay, let's see, car scene, check. Crazy fucking fight scene with broom on fire. It kind of reminded me, now that we're talking about Anchorman, the Anchorman scene with the fight.
Yeah, where everything just went crazy.
Yeah, everything's went crazy, and everyone has, like, a crazy object in their hand. Like,
yeah, that's kind of how it went. It escalated very quickly.
It did escalate very quickly. But then at the same time, everyone was like, oh, excuse me, oh, I'm sorry, oh.
It was very polite, like, but they're also going to murder you with a burning broom when you try to leave, you know? And then they try to leave, and one of the cool scenes I liked of it is they try to leave, and no matter what road they take out of town, or what they do, how they try to drive out, they always end up back in front of the mansion. That's where they're just like, well, I guess we'll stay here.
I guess we're going to stay here. Now, at the beginning of the podcast, we were saying how, you know, everyone is there to, you know, he's going to, like, bequeath his fucking will or whatnot, and he's going to say who's in the estate. So there comes a point where they all have to go upstairs to his room, and they're all sitting in the dark in, like, chairs outside of, like, the creepy medical bubble room, and you can't even see him because it's like layer upon layer of curtains around the bed, you know. And he calls, everyone is wearing a ring, the same fucking ring. She's not wearing the ring, Margaret is not wearing the ring, Catherine Ross, and she has to go in and get this ring. And the scene is so fucking creepy because it kind of reminded me of Suspiria, the ending of it, where, you know, you get grabbed and then this fucking demon hand with, like, creepy, long pointy fingernails.
Not just long, but they're, like, pointed like daggers at the end.
Yeah, really fucking creepy. Grabs her hand and just shoves this ring on her finger, very hostile and aggressively, and then she fucking faints. That scene, that was so, like, just the setting of it. There's people sitting in the dark, you know, this creepazoid, like, fucking in this creepy bubble room. And then she gets grabbed, and that ring is shoved on her finger, and she tries so hard to take this fucking ring off.
But it's not coming off.
But, so everyone is bestowed a ring. Well, they already had their rings, because they were given the rings by Mount Olive at whatever point when they meet, and he's, you know, bestowed the honor of becoming one of the six. But eventually it has to go down to one person, because only one person could be the successor of the estate. And it kind of, everyone gets taken out, like, one by one. They start dropping like flies. Yep. You don't really know who's doing it. They kind of, like you said, it's kind of like has that "and then there are none" kind of thing, where you have to figure out, like, what the fuck is, who is it?
And it's kind of ambiguous as to how long they've all been alive too, because later you find out that Mount Olive may have been alive for several hundred years, and the others, who knows exactly how long they've been alive. They mentioned that one of them was decorated by Hitler, and he doesn't look like he's that much older than what, you know, he looks to be in his late 40s or something, and he would have had to been like
19?
Yeah, 18, 19 when Hitler's decorating him, you know. Or he'd have to be way older than he looks, you know.
Yeah. Well, maybe he was 19. Maybe he was highly decorated because he was so young. I mean, they do start, like, training them as children.
Yeah. Well, then you get the kind of scene with the one woman where she's looking in the mirror and, like, constantly looking at her face and, like, admiring herself. So you get the feeling maybe she's a little hung up on her looks, that she may be way older than what she appears.
She's 85 years old, but she looks like she's fucking 35.
Yeah.
And looking 35 in 1978 is really today's 55. So yeah. it's almost rough times. Oh, my goodness. What would you... The movie has, you know, of course, like in these witch movies, you find out, like, oh, she's the ancestor of a line of, like, fucking important witches and shit. And she was, you know, Lady Margaret, you know, her, the first one of the line, you know. She was burned at the stake, you know, by Queen Elizabeth I, you know, for being a witch and whatnot. So you get, like, a history. There's, like, a painting that looks just like her.
There's always a painting that looks just like somebody in these older movies like this. That every time... So, like, I feel like if you go in a house, there's a painting that looks just like you there, get the fuck out, because nothing good's going to happen.
For real. Definitely get out.
Because that's good advice. If you go in anywhere and they have a painting of you there and you've never been there, get the fuck out.
You're like, oh, how cool. There's a painting of me already here. No.
No, negative. It's not cool. Because somebody did some black magic bullshit to get that painting of you, or they've had the painting for 500 years and they're going to have to sacrifice you to Cthulhu in order to open the doorway again.
There's a reveal, kind of, at the end of the film. You finally do see Mr. Mount Olive. He does not look good. He looks like the Elephant Man.
But worse.
I feel bad saying the Elephant Man, but that we need to give you a visual. So yeah, he looks kind of like that, and which is like, he didn't look like that though, so he must have had his glamour up, you know, or maybe the pill he took like deteriorated his face, who knows.
Because
he looked pretty decent when we saw him come out of the car, like when we saw him, you know, discuss the whole car situation, motorbike accident.
Yeah, come to tea, you know, and then suddenly he's, you know, 1,000 years older than what he was when he left. So that was kind of a surprise. Like you said, he must have had a glamour going.
He must have had the glamour going. And surprise, spoiler alert. He was the one killing everybody.
Oops.
He killed everybody because he knew that this was going to be, Margaret was going to be the successor. Probably because she led the most decent life, which this is the whole thing. These people are being, their souls are being redeemed by the devils. And it's very reminiscent to Ready or Not,
yeah,
the way that came out.
all their souls are getting claimed by the devil.
All their souls are getting claimed by the devil, but everyone has wealth. So it's like they traded their time, which is like, if someone told me, you know what, you're going to be mad famous or crazy rich right now, and you can probably live until you're 100 years old and look, you know, like you're freaking 40 years old. You're looking good, you know, whatever. I say 40 because we're not going to say 20. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
That's going to be pretty sus when you're like, hey, this person's been around for so long. But anywho, but what you have to, your soul, like for eternity, that I feel like that's a fucked up deal.
Yeah, that's kind of a one-sided bargain there.
Yeah, you're not really getting the good part of the bargain. But yeah, that's obviously what they did. And I would like to ask the director of Ready or Not, the writer, like, were you kind of somewhat inspired by this? Or maybe this is just like, obviously, you know, making a deal with the devil, Faustus, like, that's not a new idea.
Yeah.
But just even the setting of where it's set, and it's a group of people and stuff like that, and how they all have to handle what's going on, that just, you know, brought me back to the movie.
Yeah, it is reminiscent of that. Now, this movie we haven't mentioned yet, but this was directed by Richard Marquand, whose really only other famous big movie that he's done was a little film you may have heard of. It's kind of an indie thing called Return of the Jedi.
Oh, it's an indie thing. Okay.
Yeah. So it's kind of strange. Like, how do you go from this to one of the biggest movies of all time, you know?
You know, from doing a really good job, or maybe he sold his soul to the devil. We don't know. Maybe this is a fucking biopic? Yeah, a biopic. That's exactly what it is.
But yeah, it's a good movie, but at the same time, I see it like this would be one that is really ripe to like remake, because while it's good, I feel like you could do a lot more with it. You could, if it was paced a little faster and you had like the people, you know, they're supposed to be witches and warlocks. Let's see them doing some stuff, you know?
It would be pretty dope to see them do stuff. You do see in the end scene, there's like a battle between the last standing warlock and her and Sam Elliott, and they're fighting and doing all crazy shit, and he's like fucking sniper rifle, but I want to say it like in the act of doing it. Has a sniper, I can't even say that right now. My brain is literally deteriorating. Like
sniper rifle.
Like Mount Olive.
Which is, it's technically what he has is an elephant gun.
Elephant gunning Sam Elliott.
Which again is from Ready or Not. Remember, she pulled the elephant gun out and was using it at one point.
Yeah, so
he whips out the elephant gun and is up on the roof trying to take her and Sam Elliott out with an elephant gun. Which apparently all English countryside estates just have in a case somewhere.
Well, isn't like that's close to like India, that's where the elephants are. Maybe they're walking over, who knows? So she does display some of her powers there.
Yeah.
Very, you know, she closes the gun, like the front, so he literally shoots himself on the back lash of it and falls off the roof and then dies. And then she inherits the power, and she's like, I got the power.
Yep.
And she gets told by Mount Olive what's really going on, and that she's going to be the one to inherit the power when he's, you know, he's going to let go and just die and give the power to her. And she's just ready to fucking get this power. She's like, all right. She's kneels down and she's all into it. And then Sam Elliott, who she left downstairs, because he got like grazed, like he got chest grazed.
No, he got shot in the face with the elephant gun.
I feel like he got grazed because like, his face was still intact.
It like went across, like he's got a towel up on his head with, you know, filling up with blood. So he got grazed in the head with an elephant gun, which is pretty serious, I would think. And he also was carrying a crossbow with him, that he fell on one of the crossbow bolts. He's got that sticking out of his side. So he's been stabbed with a crossbow bolt, shot with an elephant gun, and he is fucking pissed. He's had enough.
He's like, you know what? Medical equipment, bubble room, fuck you. And he starts fucking everything up like Hulk style.
He trashes it, and then when he's done, hey, Hulk style, he was in the Hulk, I think.
Wasn't he the dad? Oh, no, that's the other dude.
That's the other guy. Never mind. But
he does look like him. It's the mustache.
He just goes Hulk crazy in there, smashing everything, and finally just is like, fuck this guy, and just takes one of his like EKG machines and just smashes it over the old man's head.
He killed a disfigured man. It was really fucked up because it's like, first of all, he's already dying and he's in bed just laying there, and you just fucking murdered him.
Did you really have to do that? I feel like that was excessive.
It was like murder rage death like moment time. He just killed him, and she inherits the power. And the little tidbit that he gave her before he died, which I may or may have not mentioned, is that now she has to choose six people. So, you know, when that revelation set, you're like, okay, you don't think anything of it. I mean, besides the fact that now she has to lure like six random people during her lifetime, however long that might be, to collect these souls. But she has the ring in her hand. They like leave the house. They're like outside, you know. She has a ring in her hand and she slips the ring on fucking Sam Elliott's finger. I'm like, she done cursed that motherfucker, damn.
I didn't even ask him. She was like, hey, now you're one of my six.
And he's like, oh, I have the power now. And she's like, yep, you got the power. And the movie ends. And you're like, but Chad did make a good point. He did say that she gets to choose one person that becomes a successor. So maybe she chooses Sam Elliott. Can you choose yourself? Is that like a genie way out where you just choose yourself?
No, I don't think you can do that. No. But all I know is that Sam Elliott better be on his best damn behavior for the next 300 years or else she's going to send his ass to hell.
She sure, yeah. She's like, don't fuck with me. And you can't take this ring off. And it is an ugly fucking 70s ring. There's like a hawk or some kind of fucking weird bird, like a turquoise stone. I don't know what's
going on. I'm sure it was very stylish back in the 70s when they were like, damn, look at that turquoise ring he's wearing. Woo!
I'm not going to lie. If I saw that ring, I would totally get it so I can have some film memorabilia. Like how many, we should do rings throughout horror or rings throughout film history. I'm sure there's a lot of rings. Not as ugly as this one. I give this, I want to say 2.5 knives. I'm on the fence. I think 3 is a little too much. It's not a terrible film. It is entertaining, but it is slow. Like we said, you know, you don't really see that much of the powers being used, obviously, because, you know, money. And it's, you know, late 1970s. So, I don't know. What do you think?
I would give it, I'd say 2.5 knives.
All right.
It's entertaining.
2.5 knives and an ugly ring.
Yeah.
So guys, thank you so much for joining us once again and stay tuned to the horror.
And now folks, it's time to say goodnight. We sincerely appreciate your patronage and hope we've succeeded in bringing you an enjoyable evening of entertainment. Please drive home carefully and come back again soon. Good night.